On Thursday evening, Pat and I and Beryl, we were able to attend the carol service run by St. Cecilia's in the village hall. And the meeting was begun with Sally Baird reading a poem, which I thought was very good. So after the service, I purloined it from her, with her permission, to read it at the beginning of our service as well. I'm told that she actually wrote it, but I found it quite helpful. What strange times we live in. A time like no other. But was it so different for Jesus's mother? Distanced from family, feeling the strain, praying that soon she'd be back home again. Sounds familiar? Well, could it be that the story we tell is for you and for me? A story of hope born out of pain, where faith in God is rekindled again. A story that tells of a child from above, in whom we are blessed tonight with his love. Let's sing our opening carol. You're welcome to stand to sing. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Faithful, joyful, and triumphant.
Pat's going to come and bring us our first reading.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of Christmas. We thank you that it's a time for spending with families and friends, a time of celebration, a time to be enjoyed. But especially we thank you that it's the time when we thank you for that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, whom you sent into the world because you so loved the world. You gave us Jesus to be our Saviour, to be our friend. You sent him to bless us and to save us from our sins. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ. We do remember today those for whom Christmas is a difficult time. We think of those who've been bereaved. We think of those who are isolated, for those who are lonely, for those who are not well. Heavenly Father, we pray for these people, and we thank you that Jesus came to be God with us, to be present with us in our lives. And we pray that these people who are going through hard days might look to him and find their comfort in him. We pray, our Father, for this service. Thank you that this year we can have a carol service and come together. We ask for your blessing upon the service and your presence amongst us. And we pray that for this hour we might focus upon the true message of Christmas, and that each one of us would sense the presence of the Lord Jesus with us. Heavenly Father, we do confess our sins and our failings, and we ask for your forgiveness, that we might know renewed peace with you. And we pray for your blessing over the days ahead as we celebrate Christmas in different places and yet celebrating the same thing. And we ask for your blessing as we move ahead into the new year. Heavenly Father, draw near to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second carol is Once in Royal David's City.
Thank you.
And Christine is coming to read our second reading.
It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to all men on whom his favour rests."
Thank you. Now, I had been hoping that we'd have some of the children with us today. Unfortunately, they're not here, but a cold seems to have been going around at the moment that they've both gone down with. Having said that, Christmas is a time when everybody becomes children. So unless your age is in triple digits, I'm going to be speaking to you. I brought something to show you. And I wanted them to tell me what I have. Can you see?
Spices.
Spices, sort of. Yes.
Walnuts.
No, they're not walnuts. I don't think you'd want to eat them.
Gold,
frankincense, and myrrh. So there's my sample of gold, courtesy of Amazon. Actually, that's fool's gold. I couldn't afford real gold for this, I'm afraid. So you just have to have it on the cheap. But these are the three gifts that were brought by the wise men to the baby Jesus. And each of them has its own significance. Gold reminds us that Jesus is king. He was born king of the Jews. Now, he didn't look like a king, did he, when he was born? Born in a stable, his bed a feeding trough, animals around. Can you imagine what it was like? That was no palace. But Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the greatest king. And that's why Christians call him Lord. We know that he is in charge. Even in days of COVID, he is in charge. And we try our best to obey him. You might have seen on the news this past week, Lewis Hamilton was knighted at Buckingham Palace. And when you're knighted, what do? You have to kneel before the monarch. The question is, will we bow the knee before King Jesus? Let's sing our next carol. Come and join this celebration.
It's a very special way. Come and share.
breathe in that one. I came across a poem which I'm going to share with you. It's called The Christmas Tree Light Stringer's Lament. I strung the lights on the Christmas tree and gingerly plucked them in. That's when I noticed a bulb was out and my troubles did begin. I found my box of spare bulbs in my top workshop drawer. I quickly changed the bulb, but then out went two more. I got two more replacements and carefully plugged them in. Then I gathered all the burnt out bulbs and tossed them in the bin. As I walked back to the tree, the whole string started to blink. Now this wasn't a twinkle set, and my stomach began to sink. Suddenly, I heard a sizzle, and then I heard a pop. Then everything went so silent, you could have heard a pin drop. The whole darn string just died. Not one single bulb remained lit. So the tree will just have to stay dark this year, because this light stringer just quit. I'm sure you've all experienced more or less the same thing. Going back to my treasures, I've got this one now, and this, in this little bag, I've had this one for some years now. This is frankincense. It's not got a strong smell, it might have had when I first had it, but it doesn't have a strong smell now. Now, in the Old Testament days, they would have used incense as part of their worship, and in some churches they still do. It was meant, they would burn it, it was meant to be a sweet smell that would come up before God. And therefore, frankincense reminds us that Jesus is God. We're told that when the wise men came to Jesus, they worshipped him. And when the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, he told her that the child would be called the Son of God. So that baby lying in the manger is the same person who made the stars and the galaxies. And perhaps that's really the most amazing part of the whole Christmas story. That God became a man. He became a baby and lived among us. And we must never forget who Jesus really is. Let's sing our next carol. The fourth carol, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw.
Oh,
So we have our next reading, and Malcolm's coming to do that for us.
My reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Malcolm. Well, we've looked at the gold, we've thought about the frankincense, and so here we have myrrh. Now, myrrh was used in the embalming of a dead body, which makes it a very unusual gift to take to the baby Jesus, doesn't it? After all, you wouldn't give somebody a coffin wrapped in tinsel as a Christmas present. But what it does is to remind us that Jesus would one day die a very special death. When Jesus was about 33 years of age, he was crucified at Jerusalem. And when he was buried, John tells us in his gospel, myrrh was one of the things that they used in preparing the body for burial. Jesus died to save us from our sins and to make us right with God. He died to defeat the devil, and he overcame the grave when he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. But that's the reason why Jesus was born. That's why he came into the world, that he might die to be the saviour of the world, to bring forgiveness and peace and joy to everyone who would trust in him. And that's why I would encourage you to put your trust in him, even this Christmas time. Let's sing again our next carol, "When Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night."
Thank you.
spoken to the children, so now I'm going to speak to the adults, and that's anybody who's got more than one digit in your age. We read, or had read to us, the story of the shepherds at Christmas, and we've just been singing about that, and that story is one of the favourite stories, isn't it, at Christmas time, and it features in many of the carols we sing. The First Noel, Hark the Herald, and of course, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. Unfortunately, over the years, certain naughty schoolboys have reworded some of the Christmas carols. While Shepherds has probably suffered most at their hands. While Shepherds Watched the Box at Night, all tuned to ITV, the angel of the Lord came down and switched to BBC. While Shepherds Washed Their Socks at Night, all seated round the tub, the angel of the Lord came down and gave them all a scrub. Well, you get the idea. But the shepherds in that day and age were generally despised by the rest of the community. The shepherds were in daily contact with dirty, smelly sheep, their manure, their blood that had come from cuts and scrapes, the insects that buzzed around them. So shepherds were the lowest strata of society. And yet something special happened to these shepherds on the night when Jesus was born. There they were, up in the field, quietly minding the sheep. And this was just another normal night, and they would have been huddled together perhaps around a campfire. And they'd have been discussing the latest news about Strictly. Or perhaps, being shepherds, more likely the latest news from One Man and His Dog, if you remember that one. And then suddenly, while they're just there, out of the black sky, an angel appears. And this angel was a glorious creature. And it was a messenger sent to them from God. And it would have been absolutely magnificent in its appearance. So much so that the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, when he meets an angel, he's tempted to fall down and worship him. It's so glorious to see. And so here are these shepherds. This angel appears and they are greatly afraid. They're terrified. They're quaking in their boots. Now, why are they so afraid? Well, first of all, they're afraid because angels have that effect upon people. Angels are not the sweet, cuddly little things that you see on some of our Christmas cards. They are awesome. Awesome and glorious beings. Nevertheless, I think there was something more than that that terrified these shepherds. We read in verse 9 of Luke chapter 2, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. The glory of the Lord. I think we can easily overlook that phrase. Have you ever had that experience of, you know, reading the Bible and you read a passage that you've read hundreds of times before and suddenly you see something in it that you'd never actually noticed before? Well, that happened to me earlier this year with that particular verse. Because it struck me I'd always had this picture of the angel appearing and the angel being so glorious. That was the glory that they saw. But that's not what the text says. It says it was the glory of the Lord, not the glory of the angel. The angel, magnificent though it was, would pale by comparison. Whatever glory the angel had, the glory of the Lord surpasses it by far. And what's happening here is that God was making himself known to these poor shepherds in a way that he seldom did over the centuries. Yes, he'd done it before on a few occasions. He did it at Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. He did it when Solomon dedicated the temple, and on a couple of other occasions as well. But here, in Luke chapter 2, he reveals his glory to the shepherds. So what did they see? Well, no doubt they saw the light of God's glory, what we sometimes call the Shekinah glory. But you know, it was more than just a bright light. I think they sensed something. I think they sensed the overwhelming presence of God himself. Because you cannot know God's presence without being awed and humbled. I think they sensed the utter purity of God's holiness. That sense of God's purity would have made them feel so dreadfully unclean. Because no sinner can come into the presence of God without feeling ashamed. And nobody who thinks they're pretty good and decent people will still think that once they have encountered God and glimpsed his glory. I think they sensed the immensity of God's power. Everything is weak in comparison to God. Everybody feels weak in the presence of omnipotence. And here is the God who made the universe. And here are a handful of weak and puny shepherds. I think they would have sensed the all-knowing searching of God's eye. That feeling that God sees into my heart, that God knows my deepest, darkest secrets, that there is nothing that is hidden from God. Not my actions, not my thoughts, not my motives. It's no wonder they were afraid. It's no wonder they were terrified. But the angel brought to them a message to soothe their fears. "Fear not," said the angel. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And we'll think about that good news after we sing our next carol. So our next carol on our sheet, Silent Night, Holy Night.
Holy Night.
we left it with the shepherds in the fields, and the angel has appeared to these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord God shone around them. And these shepherds were afraid. They were very afraid. Now, most of us fear something. I wonder what it is that you fear. Maybe it's spiders. Nothing wrong with them. I like that little bit in one of the Harry Potter films where there's Harry and Ron, and they're told they've got to follow the spiders. And Ron is absolutely terrified of spiders, and he squeaks out, "Why couldn't it be follow the butterflies?" But I wonder what it is, really, then, if it's not spiders, what it is that you're afraid of. Flying, perhaps? COVID? Old age? Loneliness? Exams? Whatever it is. Maybe some of you have brought those fears with you this afternoon. Perhaps there's something, maybe you've not shared it with anybody here, so nobody else knows, but it frightens you. Maybe you are anxious about Christmas, about the new year, what the next few months are going to bring. Well, if that's you, here's a question. Did you know that the most frequent command that we find in the Bible is, do not be afraid? Fear not. And that's exactly what the angel here says to these shepherds. Here are these shepherds, they are terrified. Do not be afraid, says the angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. He doesn't merely say, don't be afraid, don't be frightened. But he gives them a reason why they shouldn't be afraid. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. He brings the shepherds a message designed to soothe their fears and designed to soothe our fears. Let's just think about that message for a couple of minutes. This Christmas message, this message that the angel brings as a messenger of God. It is, first of all, it's a message, we're told, of great joy. This event that the angel is declaring to them, the birth of a baby in Bethlehem, is an event worth celebrating. It's something joyful. It's something to gladden our hearts. That the Son of God has come into the world as a little child. And you and I, we should rejoice, we should be thrilled, we should be excited to hear the message of the angel. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So it's not wrong for us to celebrate Christmas each year. It should be a time of rejoicing. It's good to have a time of the year when we focus our thoughts on the coming of the Christ child. It's good to celebrate, provided, of course, we remember what it is that we are celebrating. A Saviour has been born to you. Secondly, notice that this message, we're told, is for everybody. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It's not a message that was simply for the Jews. It was not a message that was just for the shepherds. This is a message for the whole world. This is a message that was to go out beyond the shepherd's field, beyond Bethlehem, beyond Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This was a message of good news for all the world, for everybody in the world, every nation, every class of person, every type of person. A message for everybody. And it's a message that a saviour has been born to you. This message speaks to people throughout the world and across the centuries, and it's the message that a saviour has been born to you. And so this Christmas message is for you, gathered here today, here in the village temple. It's a message to you, so please, please, please listen to it. And what is this message? What is the heart of the message? A saviour has been born. Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. Joseph was told that by the angel when the angel visited him and told him that you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All right, but what does that mean? What's that mean for us? Well, our sins are our crimes against God. We've broken God's law. Think the Ten Commandments, for example. We've broken every single one of them, and more than once. We have failed to live up to God's standards. Remember what we said earlier? That the shepherds would have sensed something of that utter purity of God's holiness. And we fall short by comparison. Every one of us does. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because we fall short, and because we do not live up to his standards and his commandments, God holds us guilty. And we deserve the ultimate sanction of hell. But Jesus came into the world to save us from that. To save us from hell if we will but commit our lives to him. Some 33 years later, Jesus was to suffer and die on a cross just outside Jerusalem. But his death secured the forgiveness of all who come to him. Because Jesus died and rose, he is the saviour of all who will trust in him. But one last thing to notice in this message. The message that the angel brings is this. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. Today. You see, what we're talking about with the birth of Jesus is an historical event. Jesus really was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. There was a day in which Mary gave birth to her firstborn. This is not fiction. This is not myth. This is history. This is something that really happened. And just as his birth is history, so too is his death and his resurrection. These are events that happened almost 2,000 years ago, but they are still of significance for us today. You see, Christianity is not about accepting some sort of moral philosophy. It's about following a real person. Jesus Christ, who was born that night so long ago. So can you hear this message for yourself? Will you hear this message for yourself? Amongst the clamour of Christmas television, presents, food and drink, squabbles over Monopoly, and the busyness of the whole period, will you take the time to listen to the good news that calms our fears? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Don't let the glitter bury the true message of Christmas. Unto you is born a Saviour. Is he your Saviour? Well, we're coming to the end and we're going to sing our final carol. So let's stand and sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Now dismiss your servants in peace, for our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It just remains for me to wish every one of you a very happy and blessed Christmas. I trust that you know the Lord's blessing this week. We do have refreshments coming. Please stay in your seats. They will be brought to you, and so you don't need to go after them. And can I just say thank you to those who've helped, those who're looking after the refreshments, those who've done the decorations around, those Chris has done the sheets for us. Thank you to everybody who has helped.